This is AgriPulse Daybreak for Wednesday, October 2nd, brought to you by Watkinson Miller and Dairy Management Incorporated. Good morning, I'm Jeff Nally. Here's today's headlines. Shutdown begins. Trump wants to make soybeans great again, and Bozeman says shutdown could speed farm aid discussions. Government shuts down, but potential rifts loom. It was a shutdown day at USDA, and the few workers at headquarters in Washington, D.C. were wrapping up office work in preparation for an indefinite leave of absence. One employee who spoke to AgriPulse said he planned to catch up on home projects, but there were no signs on Capitol Hill of a thaw between Democrats and Republicans who remain at loggerheads over spending. Rifts? Well, the Trump administration has raised the prospect of firing federal workers during the shutdown, but there was no word yesterday on when or whether those will take place. One lawmaker, Representative Adrian Smith of Nebraska, told AgriPulse Oliver Ward, quote, "I think we will learn more here in the next 24 hours or so that there are a lot of positions that are funded but not authorized by Congress. And so I think there will be a very diligent and thoughtful process moving forward that will be able to achieve some efficiencies there and make sure that services are not sacrificed or compromised. When we can make progress at reducing the bureaucracy, a lot of people win," Smith said. Administration blames Dems. The Trump administration blames Democrats for the shutdown, even in communications that normally would not be partisan. Pages on USDA's website now say they will not be updated, quote, "due to the radical left Democratic shutdown." Emails that went out to federal employees on Tuesday also blamed the Democrats. Former NRCS Administrator Bruce Knight, now a consultant, said he's worried about an extended shutdown because both sides, quote, "believe that the American public is going to rally behind their position. If this runs, say, a month or two, then that sets back the ability for a farmer to get a decision on equip, be able to implement things over the next month," he said. Administration signals soybeans at the forefront of China talks. The president and his top diplomat in China are telling lawmakers and soybean farmers that protecting their interests remains a priority in ongoing trade discussions. In a closed-door meeting between Senate Republicans and U.S. Ambassador to China David Perdue this week, Perdue reportedly told lawmakers that soybeans are the top issue in going discussions. Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley said the Senate on the Senate floor yesterday that in addition to emphasizing the importance of soybeans in negotiations, Perdue also mentioned the unfulfilled purchase commitments under the Phase One deal. Later yesterday, President Trump highlighted the role of soybeans in negotiations. On social media, he said they would be a major topic of discussion when he meets with Chinese President Xi Jinping later this year. Trump said, quote, "I will never let our farmers down," he said, "make soybeans and other row crops great again." Senator John Hovind of North Dakota told AgriPulse that he's confident that soybean producer concerns have reached the president. He understands the issue there, he said, as well as for other farm commodities. Bozeman, shutdown could help farm aid discussions. The government shutdown heads into day two today, but Senate Agriculture Committee Chair John Bozeman tells AgriPulse the shutdown could help get dollars to struggling farmers. "The funding lapse means things slow down here, so it really allows us to focus on the things that are really important. Even more so," Bozeman said in an interview with congressional editor Kip Chipman. As we've reported, lawmakers are looking to revise USDA Section 32 spending authority to pay for a sizable aid package funded through tariff revenue. "The good news is that I think virtually everybody in Congress and certainly the administration is on board now," Bozeman said. As for the timetable, It's crucial to act as fast as possible in the next few weeks, Bozeman said. The bankers are very concerned that farmers have the ability to show that they're going to have this income coming in, he said. We'll have more AgriPulse Daybreak after this. Dairy Management Incorporated serves America's 34,000 plus dairy farmers and dairy importers by managing research and marketing programs aimed at promoting dairy consumption and protecting the good image of dairy farmers, dairy products, and the dairy industry. Funded entirely by dairy farmers, DMI has distinguished itself as a strategic consultant and valuable resource to businesses and organizations in the food and beverage sector that seek to increase sales and raise their image through the innovative use of dairy and dairy ingredients. Welcome back to AgriPulse Daybreak. Iowa lawmakers pitch moving Beltsville research to their state. Iowa's congressional delegation wants Ag Secretary Brooke Rollins to make Iowa the new Beltsville, with USDA proposing to move the historic Maryland-based agriculture research facility as a part of its upcoming reorganization. Iowa lawmakers want Rollins to send the lab's researchers to Ames. In a letter, they said Iowa State University researchers already study several of the same subjects, including soybean genomics, hydrology, and remote sensing, animal genomics, adaptive cropping systems, and bee research. Surface Transportation Board member sues Trump administration over attempted removal. Former Surface Transportation Board member Robert Primus is suing the Trump administration over its attempt to remove him from the board. Primus, who received the termination email last August, filed a lawsuit yesterday arguing that the administration provided no reasoning when attempting to remove him, which he alleges violates federal law. To satisfy statutory requirements, removals must be due to inefficiency, neglect of duty, or beneficence in office, according to the lawsuit. Biofuels to provide demand for corn and soybeans, KCFed says. Biofuels, not exports, are poised to propel demand growth for U.S. corn and soybeans. That's according to the Federal Reserve Bank of Kansas City. Brazil's dethroning of the United States as China's biggest soybean supplier and other trade shifts are diminishing the world's appetite for America's two biggest crops. But renewable fuels made from grain and oilseed stand ready to fill the breach if changes to biofuel policy become final, Fed economists say. EPA wants sharp increases in biomass-based diesel required to be mixed into the country's traditional fuel supply. It's also proposed incentives for blenders to use North American biofuel feedstocks as opposed to raw materials like used cooking oil from Asia. Recent changes in key clean fuel production tax credit, known as 45Z, also have given an economic advantage to refineries and processors that make fuel with sustainable ingredients from U.S., Canada, and Mexico. The KC Fed analysis hits big oil groups and some biofuel producers that lobby against limits on foreign feedstocks, arguing those could raise their costs and raise prices for consumers. EPA's plan would cut the biofuel credits, known as RINs, by over 50% for fuels made from non-North American commodities. RINs are used to track biofuel blending mandate compliance. Earlier this week, nearly four dozen members of Congress asked EPA Administrator Lee Zeldin to keep the agency's proposal intact when it issues final rules, that according to a letter obtained by AgriPulse. At a time when many farmers are struggling to break even, all federal biofuel policies should be prioritizing domestic agriculture and biofuel production, not foreign fuels made from foreign feedstocks, the bipartisan group of lawmakers, including Iowa Republican Senator Chuck Grassley and Democratic Representative Angie Craig of Minnesota, wrote. Here's today's final word. Given the number of employees that they're proposing are going to be furloughed, the impact is much greater than the county offices. it would be the state offices and much of the headquarters. The ones that are left remaining are the ones that are deemed to be essential, that are keeping the lights on, but also keep emergency functions going. That's the word of Bruce Knight, principal and founder of Strategic Conservation Solutions and former administrator of the Natural Resources Conservation Service. Well, that's Daybreak for this Wednesday, October 2nd, brought to you by Watkinson Miller and Dairy Management Incorporated. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak, I'm Jeff Nally.